Lord. Thank you, Father, for your presence, and thank you, Heavenly Father, for the abundance of your grace and the outworking of your spirit in us, upon us, and through us. We bless you. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody say amen.
Amen. Amen.
Okay. Are you ready?
Yes.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Well, we have been studying about the Born Again series. And we are trying to establish or strengthen our foundations because it's very important. It's very important. So we read about Jesus telling Nicodemus that except a man be born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. We read about Jesus bringing it down and saying that we must be born from above. That's what it means to be born again. You must be born from above. So all of us were born from the earth, which is natural origin. So we originated from the natural realm. But you must be born again from above to become a child of God. Except a man be born again, he cannot partake, enter into, see it, and enjoy the life that God has prepared for all of humanity. And then he tells him that when you are born by the Spirit, when you are born by the Spirit, you would find out that the movement of the Spirit, which do not make sense to you, when the Spirit begins to move, you don't know where it's coming from. You don't know where it's going. You don't know when it's going to stop. You don't know what it's supposed to accomplish. But you begin to experience its effect. You begin to notice that just like the wind, fresh air. Wow. How did the air know that I have great need of some fresh air? I need a breather. How many of you need a breather? Rest from the aspersions. Hey. Aspersions are trouble sent against you, and it's relentless, meaning that it doesn't abate, it doesn't come down, it doesn't stop. It's less. Aha, it's like an onslaught. And then and then the Spirit says, my son needs a breather. You don't know where it's gonna blow from. You don't know how it's going to originate and how it's going to manifest himself. But all you know is that, I thought I would be finished by now. I thought it would be over by now. I thought I would never have a child. I thought the thing that I desired, I would never enter into it. I thought it was far removed from me. I thought it was impossible. I had given up. But I don't know how it worked out. I'm here and I have it. Wow! How did it happen? I don't know. That's how it is. When you are born of the Spirit moves, operates, functions, and brings to your experience the things that were purposed and foreordained for you, which no man, including yourself, could bring it to pass except the Spirit himself. Now, he goes on. He goes on and he tells John, Nicodemus. Let's look at it. John 3, if you would look at verse 14. John 3 from verse 14. Remember, we read let's read from verse 6. I mean, I think it's just, I don't have time, but just let's read from verse 6. Can you give me the passion again? Let's read verse 6, and then it says the passion. Yeah. It says, for the natural realm, and we all came from natural realm. We all came from natural being. It has to take a man being with a woman. Bible says that Adam knew Eve. That Bible says that Abraham knew his wife and all these things. So the natural realm is relevant, but it is not the means of life. It is the entrance. It is that which must be for you to come into being. And God says, now that you will come from me, and I am present to execute it, that my zeal will accomplish it. So it says, for the natural realm can only give birth to things that are natural. But the spiritual realm gives birth to supernatural life, that which is born of the spirit, or that which is born from above, it gives supernatural life. You must be born from above to enjoy and to walk and operate and function in my supernatural life, say the Lord. You must be. So he goes on to this verse. Don't be amazed that I'm telling you this. Look at the next verse. Please pay attention. You shouldn't be amazed by my statement. You all must be born from above. And I'm here to accomplish this. See, why am I saying that he's here to accomplish this? He's going to tell us. He's going to tell us. Look at. Let's go down to verse 13. You know, you have to go back to that message. Listen to it together, all what I'm telling you. Go to verse 13. Now, he's going to tell him, you know, maybe just to help us all. Go to verse 8 first. It's okay. Go to verse 8 first, and then we will proceed. I just want to just bring it into. It says, for the spirit wind blows as it chooses. You can hear its sound, but you don't know where it came from. You don't know where it came from. You heard its sound, meaning that you are experiencing its purpose. Does that make sense? Yeah. You are experiencing or feeling it or enjoying it, but you don't know where it came from. You don't know where it's even going. So it is with the hearts of those who are spirit born or born of the spirit or born from above. Go down to verse probably 10 or 11, 10, 10. Let's read it. Verse 10, it says, now Nicodemus, of course, asked, how can these things be? Because I'm so old, I can't enter back into my mother's womb and be born. By the way, my mother is nowhere to be found. Why? He's passed on. So what you are saying, it doesn't add up. Yeah. Then Jesus said, verse 10, Nicodemus, aren't you the respected teacher in Israel? And yet you don't understand this reality, this truth, this revelation? Okay, verse 11, let's go on. I speak eternal truths about things I know. What I'm talking to you about, they are things I know. It's like somebody has come from the war where the thing happened, or from the place of action, and is telling you, listen, I was there. I was not just there as a spectator. I was there as a participant. When you were being born, I was there. Abraham saw me. Abraham, everything that I have come to accomplish, Abraham saw me. He says, your father Abraham saw me. That's why they became even mad. It's like, how old are you? That you are talking of Abraham, our father, our great, 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 great grandfather, you talking to him as if you know him yesterday. He said, I was there. He saw me. What did he see? He saw exactly how Father God was going to send his own son to also die on a tree. God was going to send his own son to die. So Abraham saw exactly that. That is why he also did the same thing. So he also made his son carry the same tree. The same tree, just as the Son of God, the Son of Man, was going to accomplish. He said, wow, you're going to kill a human being. The son asked him, Daddy, here's the fire. Here's the wood. Where is the sacrifice? God will provide. God will provide. And he bound him. He bound the son. Do you know that he had to somehow let the son know that he is the sacrifice? And the sacrifice also did not fight it. Because the sacrifice that is acceptable to God must be a willing sacrifice. Not you are fighting. No, 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 Daddy, don't kill me. Daddy, are you going to kill me? Daddy, me don't love me, Daddy. Oh, Daddy, I thought you loved me. Oh, Daddy. No, 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 no.
Okay.
There was no such thing. I tell you, somehow he had to make the son know that, listen, this is God at work.
Wow.
And we are following his instructions.
Hey.
That's why he's called the father of faith.
Yep.
I tell you, I mean, look, you waited till it was impossible to have a child, and then when you have gotten the greatest desire answered by God miraculously at the age where it has ceased to be with you and your wife, he does it. And then after he has grown up to be somewhere, I don't know, 13, 14, 15, 16, thereabout, go and sacrifice him. God, you also delight in sacrificing human beings. I didn't know that, but if that's what you want, then I'm going to do it. But he must have seen it. So he made his son carry the wood. Are you with me?
Yes.
God, because we see God, when God speaks, you don't only hear, but you see. That's why Abraham was following the instructions exactly as God purposed. Anyway, you let me not go there. That's not the day for all these nice things. Oh, are you enjoying God's word?
Oh, yes.
Yes.
And so God made him. And so when he lifted up the knife, I'm going to finish what God said I should do. Then the voice speaks. Abraham, I know you love me above all because this is your son. There is no one who you don't love anything more than this, your son. This your son is your greatest love, the joy of your life. And you are willing to offer this joy of your life to me. I know, Abraham. Wow. I know. Stop. Over there, the ram, caught up in the tree by its horns. Go grab it. Sacrifice it. Release your son. Now, this is also how I am also going to give my greatest love, my son. I am going to also give my son for the sake of all humanity. And this assignment, this work, is how I'm going to bless all humanity and redeem them from the right and the power of the devil to destroy their lives. Because sin, the Bible says the wages of sin is death. So sin has wages, it's our price. It's called death. So sin, because sin has a price called death, the enemy therefore, because sin is the devil's nature, it belongs to the devil. So if you have his nature or that which belongs to him, he has a right to you. And when Adam fell and committed high treason, an act to undermine the kingdom and the authority of God, willingly, he also sold you and me, everybody, because we were all in his loins. He's called the first man. And so God had to pay this price. God had to pay for it to buy us back. That is why because a price of death requires that if you're going to deliver humanity from death, then a price has to be paid. It's called ransom. So the Bible says that God, the Son of Man, came, the Son of Man, not the Son of God, because there are two different categories or classification. The Son of Man came not to be served. He came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. So when that assignment is executed, he says, now let the redeemed of the Lord say so, meaning the one who has been redeemed by the payment of the ransom, let him speak and say, I am owned by God. I am bought by God. My life belongs to God. Jesus paid for it. If you ever have a doubt that you belong to God, then it's only because you have not received the love that he demonstrated to you by sending his son. You know, that was just an offshoot. Let's come back. Wow. So he continues. He continues. Because all these things are still mysterious Nicodemus can't grasp it. And so he continues to tell him, where are we? Where are we? I think we were. Yeah, go to verse 12. Let's read it. Let's read it. It says, if you're able to understand and believe what I've told you about the natural realm, which is the example of the wind, what will you do when I begin to unveil heavenly realities? Anyway, go to verse 13. Then it's going on. No one has risen into the heavenly realm except the Son of Man, who also exists in heaven. And so listen to me. It's not even like I have left the kingdom of God, so now I've forgotten how the kingdom of God operates. As I'm talking to you, I live there. You see, please understand this, that the Son of Man, the Son of God, he is speaking and he says, no one has risen into the heavenly realm except the Son of Man, who also exists in heaven. So when by his obedience, he makes you a son, or you enter into the same enablement where you exist in heaven and you are walking here on earth. That is why you should never doubt if it's going to be okay with you. You should never doubt if the angels will keep you, if God will send his angels to keep you. You should never doubt if the devil can just take you at will. No, you exist in heaven, you exist here on earth. Why are you so mindful of only the natural realm and you don't have respect to the spiritual realm? That is why he came, that you may be born from above, born again. That is you, that is me. But what he did, it was for us, not for himself. He already was. So he says, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to make sons who will be like me, because I'm going to live my life through them. Let's go on. Wow. Verse 14. Now he's going to touch on how he's going to do it. He's going to touch on how he is going to do it. So he says, just as Moses in the desert lifted up the brass replica of a snake on a pole for all the people to see and be healed, all that Moses had to do was to erect a pole with a fake snake on top of it. And whoever shall look at it, you look at it, you behold it, you just behold it, and say, look, you are, when that was happening, you know that the snakes were still around, biting them. Listen, though, as when Moses did it, it wasn't that the snakes that were biting and killing them have stopped biting and killing them. No. But in the midst of the presence of the snake, anybody who takes his eyes from the snake, which is the true snake that is living and biting and killing and destroying, when you take your attention from that snake and you bring it to bear on a fake snake hanging upon a pole because God says so, immediately you are healed. Immediately the power of the venom that is in the snake, it's paralyzed or ceases. Then he says, so the Son of Man is ready to be lifted up. This is why I've come, and this is how I'm going to do it. The same way that pole had to be erected with the cause of death. Look at it too. Ah, my God, this is too wild. The thing that is causing the death, the thing that is destroying, which no man has had authority and power to shut off, God is now going to bring every power of destruction and death and torment, every mental depression, every mental oppression, everything that destroys, God is going to now bring that thing upon his own son hanging upon the tree. That is why he was instructed to make a replica of the snake. Why? It is going to be the visitation of everything that destroys upon the Son. Can you see it?
Yes.
This is the only way God was going to redeem you and me. This is the only way God was going to end the power of death. This is the only way God was going to bring forth something that stands against death and shut its mouth. Look at verse 15. Wow. so that those who truly believe in him, who truly believe in him, who put their trust in him, my goodness, please understand something. Can we come to the place where now we take our attention from everything and anything that has brought torment and destruction and bring it to bear on him? The moment you do that, see, you can't do that. See, you only ignore something that has been sent to kill you and rather consider something that you wonder, what is this? What did you say? You're saying that I should ignore this sentence of death, and the thing is in my face, and you are telling me to take it and bring it to bear on somebody who died on the cross, and I'll be healed, and life will be restored to me. For you to do that, you would have to begin to now trust in this thing. Otherwise, you can never take your attention from the thing that is present and seeking to destroy. Can you understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
I mean, it's like nonsense. Nonsense. The snake is biting me. What I need is an anti-venom, not looking at something. What am I looking at something? are you with me?
Yes.
Ask God to bring anti-venom. That's exactly what, that's what we talked about. What was his name? Last week, remember, we talked about this guy, Naaman. Naaman. He was going to seek healing. He goes there expecting the man of God, who is in touch with God himself, will come out and smite him with a cloak or something, so that when the cloak will touch him, he will know that God has touched me. Healing must come and manifest. No, the man doesn't even come out. He sends his servant, go and tell that man that I should go and take a shower. What? Go and take a shower 7 times in a particular river. He said, wait, that river is not even clean compared to the rivers that I know of, which I have access to. The rivers that I know of, which I have access to because of my position, they are fresh. They are like the Florida seas and Florida water bodies. You can see your image in it. You get what I'm saying? But this water, what an insult. That's exactly, that, see, so for you to take an action that doesn't look like any semblance of life, you must believe who's saying it. You must believe who is giving the instruction. He said, don't be troubled. Okay, you have spoken. End of matter. I will not be troubled. Why? He has spoken. Not because the elements have stopped functioning against me. No. Not because the boss mind and heart has turned around in my favor. No. Not because I have evidence that it's going to be well. No. Because of he who spoke it. Can you see what I'm saying?
Yes.
Hey! Can you see why many Christians can't enter into and work in the rights and the privileges that belong to them? It sounds like it's nonsense. I'm going to leave him because if I stay here, I may not survive for two more months. Can go. You enter into more death. Because what God has put together, let no man put asunder. Anyway, it's wild. So that those who truly believe in him will not perish, but be given eternal life. So God was now telling Nicodemus exactly how he's going to bring it to pass, how he's going to make men now be born from above, be born of the Spirit. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I'm gonna do it. How am I gonna do it? Just as Moses was instructed to erect that pole with a fake snake, I'm going to be erected. Me. I am going to be erected upon a pole, and all the snakes. Their biting power, their venom, their toxin, their power to destroy is going to be brought on me. It's going to bring me a sentence of death. This is the price that I only can pay. I am the only offering, the sin offering, to end the power of sin upon the lives of his children. And once that is done, something else is going to happen. A new life, a new birth is going to happen. And that will bring the life of God, the life of the Spirit, the life of the Son into every man who believes this work. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Now, wow. Are you guys doing so far?
Yes.
So now, this has happened. This has already happened. You and I have been told. We have heard it. We have believed it. We have confessed it. Now, there is a life for us to live. Amen. Now, there is a life for us to live. So last week, we began to go. We began to enter into Romans 12, Romans 12. Wow. Wow. So how do we live this life? Romans 12 from verse 1. Let's go there. Romans 12 from verse 1. Wow. You know, I could have gone down on that scripture because that scripture where we just read the John 3:14-15. Then we go to the 16 where it says that for God so loved the world. He loved the world. Mean that what he's going to do, he being hanged upon the cross and all the devil, the demons, the demonic hordes in their power to steal, to kill, to destroy, being brought to bear on him. It's going to do it. He's going to do it for all of humanity. So that for God so loved the world. Wow. That he gave his only begotten son. Just like Abraham, just like he told Abraham to do. Everything that happened in the Old Testament was about Jesus, concerning what God was going to do through Jesus for humanity. Understand that. So when you read the Bible, look for Jesus. Look for Jesus. In the Old Testament, look for Jesus. New Testament, look for Jesus. Everything is to reveal this life. Because once you come into terms with the reality of this life, you find yourself. Because what he did, it was to bring his life into you. Does that make sense? It's not to tell you what is wrong with you, what is right. He does not come to tell you what is wrong. He does not tell you what is wrong with you. He comes to tell you what is true about you. He's got the spirit of truth. What is true about you is what Jesus executed.
Amen.
And now you are the result of that execution. Now you may not believe it, but it's still true. You say, I haven't received Jesus Christ yet. It is true that when he died, he took you into his death. And he has ended the sentence of death that was upon your life. When you receive it, then it becomes your experience. Because what he did, it's already been done. Does that make sense?
Yes.
It becomes your experience. So you tell someone, so he says, because of what I have done, I am giving you a word or a ministry of reconciliation. Go and tell them that I have reconciled them to myself. Ooh. I have brought them into a form and a dimension where I have qualified them to be able to stand in my very presence and not be consumed by my light. I have done it. I am not imputing their trespasses unto them. It's finished. I did it. And I did it through my son. It cost me everything. It cost me my son's life. And now you want the result. So he says, go and tell them. If anybody does not receive it, listen to me. Listen, there is none of God's creation that is able to reject love. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. That is why you pour water on grass, it turns green. You drive by a stray dog, a dog that has whatever it is, and you toss dog food to this dog. And then you come the next day, you come and you toss dog food to this dog. You come the next, a stray dog, you keep tossing dog food. You find out that anytime you come, it is there waiting for its lover. Mm. That's found a lover.
Wow. Right.
That's how it is. Mm-hmm. The only being, the only creature that is not able to receive God's love is the devil and his demonic hordes. They can't. And so when you go to somebody, don't tell him. You will go to, no. Say, hey, there's the love of God concerning you. Is the promise of God concerning you? You are the redeemed of the Lord. Will you receive it? If you fail to receive it, he calls you wicked. Because the only one who does not receive and will not receive love is the devil. And so because anybody fails to receive it, he says you have made your place with the place. You have made your place. It's not made for any human being.
Mm-hmm.
It's only made for the devil and his demonic hordes. But because you have chosen to reject love through deception, for whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them. Wow. That believe not. They call it nonsense. But it's the only way of life. Anyway, let's go on. I don't know how all these are coming up, but I think it's good. What do you think?
It is good.
So don't you ever doubt it. Let me stay here because it's important. Don't you doubt what God has done. Don't say, I don't feel it. Can you please start packing your feelings aside? Just pack it aside and take up what is true. Did he die on the cross?
Yes.
Who did he die for?
For us.
Exactly. Has he done the assignment? Was he obedient to the full?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Should it not produce or accomplish what he purposed?
Yes.
You went to school, you have become whatever you have become. You. Regardless of all the difficulty of the professors and everything, you have become what you set out to become. God sent his son.
Mm-hmm.
can I tell you something?
Yes.
Oh, my God. Do you know that when anybody will sin in the olden days, the instruction was to bring a ram, or if you can afford a ram, bring what do you call it? Pigeon. you know what I mean?
Yeah.
If you can afford this, bring this, if you can afford this, bring it. And then the high priest will examine. Do you know what the high priest examines? He examines the goat or the sheep or the ram that you have brought. Why? Because the examination, the scrutinization is brought to bear on the sin offering, not the sinner.
Mm-hmm.
Say, oh, I've done this. No problem. God is going to now provide himself a sin offering. The sin offering is his own son. Do you know who, in the olden days, it was the high priest who examines the sin offering to see if it's without blemish. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
To qualify it to be sacrificed so that whatever is supposed to come upon you will be stayed away. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Now, the father himself sent his son. And you know what happened? The Holy Spirit is the one who had to examine the sin offering. That is why it says that by his spirit entered into the Holy of Holies to present his blood. And the Holy Spirit examined the sin offering of the son and his blood and said, Daddy, Father, the sin offering is exactly as you desired. And now it has right and access into the Holy of Holies. And the moment the Holy Spirit took that sin offering and blood and poured upon the mercy seat, he said, it's finished. Now you are set free. Now you can go and speak like a son, a child, a daughter. Now you can think like one who was redeemed. Now you can function as one who knows that every judgment has been brought to an end. The sentence of death has been brought to an end. No evil, no powers of darkness has right to me. Generational curses have ceased. Why? For I am the redeemed of the Lord. Because the scrutinization was brought to bear upon the son himself. So don't you have to do anything to make things right? No. The person who commits the son is not the one who is brought and put on the plate to be examined. To see if you have done everything right, now you can take communion. Foolish, 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 foolish. Liar, deception, running and killing God's children. When the scrutinization, the examination is brought upon the sin offering, are you the sin offering? Were you sacrificed to appease the wrath of God? Were you?
No.
So how dare you look at yourself and say, oh, I'm not in the spiritual. My life is not so proper. Oh, I'm moving away from God. Turn back and say that he finished it. I am it. I'm going to connect fully. Because the only reason why you feel like that is because the channel is FM. You are listening to AM and you want to continue to enjoy FM. Something is wrong with you. So what do you do? You just turn. Don't you just turn?
Yes.
Just turn. Tune. FM. Ah, the song is playing. I love your presence. Oh, I love amazing love. How can it be that you, my king, will die for me? Why? You have tuned into FM. That's all you did.
Yeah.
Your joy is restored.
Amen.
The refreshing has begun again.
Yes.
It's as if you never stepped away. That is why when the prodigal son came back, there was no mention of how he went and played the harlotry, how he went and ruined or lived a vain life. No. It's only the son. The son who didn't know the heart of the father. He was the one who was talking that crap. Unfortunately, there are so many elder sons in the church.
Forgive.
Hey, I saw her. Oh, I saw him. The pastor's son. Hey, the pastor's son. Hey. Foolish. Foolish. The devil's advocate. You are manifesting.
Come on, man.
The thing is so wild that even when a wife has received this life, father says it covers your husband. And therefore your children are holy. He said, but he has not received you yet. Who made the covenant? Did I consult you when I was making the covenant? When I killed my son and I made a covenant with him, with his blood, and I put you into it, I also put him into it. How dare you question my covenant? How dare you use your mind? Did I not tell you that when you're born of the spirit, the thing that the spirit does doesn't make sense to man? Why are you using your mind to ascertain who qualifies and who doesn't qualify? By the way, when I did it, where was your mind? Can you imagine? A son grows up and is told, Daddy has five houses in England, has two houses in Russia, Kosovo, has a house that was not finished. It's in Ghana, has 18 houses in Florida, and he grows up and says, I don't believe all this crap. You are a foolish son. foolish son. Foolish son. That's cost your daddy all his life to do to finish all these things, and your the estate, the executor of the estate is telling you this, and you are struggling to accept it because your mother told you something about your father that it doesn't seem that this foolish man can accomplish all these things. You are a fool.
Forgive.
Likewise, the Holy Spirit says, I will send him when he comes. He is the one who will tell you everything that is true about you. And you don't want to spend any time in his word to find out what is true about you.
It's true.
I know a fool.
Oh, forgive.
Exactly. Exactly. He says, son, you don't know anything. When I was killing my own son, you were not there. When I was paying the price, you were not there. When I raised him up and raised you up and put my life in you, my spirit in you, and my light, you were not there. But I did it. I didn't even consult you. So because you were not there and didn't understand or you don't know all this significance, I'm going to send my spirit. When he comes, he will show you and tell you all that is true. Then we come up. God's word tells me that if I pay my tithe, then I will qualify. God's word says, if I do this, if I do that, then I will qualify. And he says, son, every qualification that was required was upon my son. You are it. You are the result. You are the masterpiece of my work. For we are his workmanship, recreated in Christ Jesus unto good works. What is left now is the good works which my spirit is wanting to bring forth through you, a vessel. Where is the difficulty? Where is the difficulty? Am I preaching to you at all?
Oh, yes.
Yes.
I'm just trying to kill some of the things because the deception is just too wild. Anyway, so Romans 12, from verse 1, let's go on. Give it to me in the Amplified Version, please. Romans 12, verse 1 and 2. These are the signs. So listen to me. The moment you become born again, we talked about some of the cardinal signs. Like you your mouth. I mean, first of all, the cry. It's that longing, you know, that's, it's now birth in you. That is why you are not yourself until you reconnect.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You are reconnecting. And then as you begin to reconnect, then you find out that you have become so released and connect because your heart is crying. The child is crying. It's crying. You must cry. The life is in there. It's crying for its maker. Then you become very hungry. You always want to eat and suffer. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word. If you are not longing for the word, if there's no desire to run to the word, something's wrong with you. Something is wrong with you because it's not normal. It's not normal. Yeah, yeah. Except if what you hear is not that which ministers life. That is why in the third phase, which is the child wanting to be touched, wanting to be with his mother, or he just wants to be held. It's now you want to have fellowship with those who are like-minded, those who you just want to just have fellowship with those who minister life. So if all your friends, if everybody who you call your friend is somebody who is into the world, something's wrong with you. You have become so callous that the life inside you, after crying for so long, you know that if something inside you cries for a long time and it's not paid attention, it happens that your conscience becomes seared. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yes.
It's like something happens to you that now you don't care.
Callous.
Exactly. The word is callous. It's not because it even stops crying, you know. It's like,
just brush it off.
You don't feel the crying anymore. You don't feel the thirst anymore. And so the company to be with those who are like-minded, who think like that, and who that fellowship. Isn't it? That's why it says that not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together. And so much the more as the days draw nigh, because the evil, the darkness that is coming upon the world is increasing in its intensity. People are going to kill other people brazenly in daylight amongst people. I just read something, a headline, that a mother put her son into the trunk of a car and closed it whilst people were around him.
Oh.
Into the, I don't know if it was some punishment, whatever it is. I mean, what can enter into you? But this is where we are coming into, where there was a guy also, I've forgotten where it was, he cut off a woman's head in, I've forgotten where. Cut off. I don't know why they need, see, I don't know. But it's because of who did it. The person who did it, of course. If they talk about it, it opens up a kind of worm. So they don't talk about it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because the person who did it is one of those guys who unfortunately that doesn't want life. He just came in to just live his life. Because you and I who came here, we did everything to try and enjoy life, true of us.
True.
Yeah. You paid every price. I can't do this work for long if I don't have a family, so I'm going to go to school. They'll prepare me, but I will still pay the price. This is you, because in your heart, you just want life. That's all. But there are some people who are coming now who don't want life. No. You are bringing something else. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Anyway, that's just by the way. But how did I get there? Yeah. Now, this is the thing. It says, Romans 12, Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, or in view of the mercies of God that has been showered upon you so much, without limit, I urge you to present your bodies. You know, I really want to stay on that statement for a bit, if I have time. Present your bodies, dedicating all of yourselves, set apart, a living sacrifice. Give me the other amplified. Let me see. Says, present your bodies, present your members. I urge you, brothers and sisters, I appeal to you, therefore, brethren, and beg of you, in view of all the mercies of God, to make a decisive dedication of your bodies, your members, presenting all your members and faculties. Present them as a living sacrifice. Wow. Now, what does all this mean? What does it mean? You see, the Bible says that now, remember, we just learned that if you're not born of the Spirit, or if you're not born from above, you cannot partake of God's kingdom, right?
Yeah.
Now, what does that mean? Why did we need to be born again? It's because every one of us came from a natural birth. Now, what that natural birth did to us is that it brought us into bondage to only the natural realm. Does that make sense? So this is Adam. Before he had that encounter with the devil, and he committed high treason against it, he didn't need to try and get the soil to bring food. No. No. He lived a supernatural life where if there is a need for it, it must appear. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Just like Jesus, he says, if you want to eat lunch, all we have is a boy's lunch. He said, oh, from where I come and where I exist and where I function, a boy's lunch is all we need for 5,000 men. It's not a problem. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
From where I come, water is not something that you should say we don't work on it. No. From where I come and the life I live, we work on water too.
Wow.
From where I come, you can just speak. When you speak, I see. Or part. I mean, you see, all these things, this is the life that he was bringing us. Where he can even make a donkey talk and tell a prophet. Are you with me?
Yeah.
This is the supernatural life. And so it was to deliver us from that bondage to our natural life, where if I am not seeing it with my eyes and I cannot feel it with my hands, it's nonsense. True or false?
True.
Yeah. You say I have what? You say you became poor, I'm gonna become rich. Look, I don't see it in my account. I'm poor. That's how the natural man thinks. That's what, but he came so that he will end our bondage to the natural life. And so when you read a scripture like in, go to Romans 6, I'll show you something. Romans 6, let's read verse 6. Yeah, Romans 6 from verse 6. King James. Because Because everybody has members. How many of you have members? How many of you have eyes? How many of you have ears?
Yes.
How many of you have nose? Oh, nostrils. somebody says noses. Somebody says eyes.
A lot of them.
A lot of them. So you have nostrils, you have eyes, you have ears, you can touch, you can taste and all that. Now, in themselves, they are not evil. But here's the problem. There is a nature which has dominated these members. You get what I'm saying?
So much so that
every communication that comes from those members that are supposed to work for you, now they lead you into every evil. And so when God says, I am with you, your senses say, wait. The enemy is here. Can't you see the enemy? He's come to kill you. Run. And so instead of the senses serving you, now they work against what God has put in you and wants to bring forth. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Are we on the same page?
Yeah.
Very good. Very good. So you find that all your senses communicate to you everything that is contrary to what God says. That's what the Bible says, that for the flesh, it works and it sets itself up against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So when you are born again, something happens. Now the spirit, not only you receive the spirit of God or you receive the new life in you, Holy Spirit comes to live inside you. Unfortunately, your flesh or your members, the nature calls sin. Look at something, I'll tell you something. Say, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him. Our old nature is crucified with him. So that the body of sin, the whole embodiment of the nature called sin, might be what?
Destroyed.
So now, this is truth. Please, this is truth. You must receive it as it is. That the body of sin has been destroyed, meaning that it does not dominate your spirit anymore. Does that make sense?
Yes.
It has been destroyed. That henceforth we should not serve or we should not be slaves to the sin nature. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So until he died, until he had upon the cross, until he obeyed God fully in his sacrifice of death, everybody was a slave or served sin. We were slaves to sin nature. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So it's not what I want to do. No. If you're a slave, it's not what you want to do. So you want to love your wife. You want to serve your husband. Forget about it. If the guy misbehaves, you chop him off. If the girl does not act, if the wife doesn't act well, that's how we were. Not because we want to do this, but we are slaves. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So he comes and then he does this, and then go to verse 9. Verse 7. Let's read verse 7. For he that is dead is the only one who is free from sin, the sin nature. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So he's saying that if you are not dead, well, sin, you are not free from sin. So if God says, I'm going to redeem you, what must he do?
Let's kill you first.
Exactly. He must kill you. Because if you're not dead, you are not freed from sin. You still have that nature, and that nature will rule you and take you to death. It will fight against you so that you will never enjoy anything that God has for you. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah.
So let's go to verse 9. Then it says, knowing that Christ being raised from the dead. Now, did Christ raise from the dead?
Yes.
Very good. He says, knowing that Christ being raised from the dead dies no more. Mean that the moment he was raised from the dead, death did not have any more dominion over him. So he's saying that knowing that Christ being raised from the dead dieth no more, or is no longer subject to what the devil did to him to die, what God allowed his son to suffer at the hands of devils and demons until he died and went to the grave. When God raised him up, those powers don't have access to him again. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So it says death has no more dominion over him. So verse 10, look at verse 10. This is very important. For in that he died unto that sin nature. How many times?
Once.
So do you need to call him to come and kill your sin nature again?
No.
Exactly. If you do that, what does that mean? Unbelief. You don't believe anything about him. Does that make sense?
Yes.
But in that he lived unto
God.
So he brought forth, so when he rose up, now that we, so look at the next verse. Let me just go ahead of myself. Look at verse 11. Likewise, in the same vein or same manner, you also reckon or consider, it says, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead unto what?
Sin.
Because what he came to do, where he was made sin upon the cross and had to die to pay for the wages of sin, who did he do it for?
Us.
If your daddy buys you a car, who does the car belong?
You.
Who worked to get the money to buy the car?
Your daddy.
So can anybody call you and say that you have never done anything to qualify for the car?
No.
So can you do with the car as you want?
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. Can you say, I'm taking my car to Alpena, or I'm taking my car to the northern part of Michigan? Can you say that?
Yes.
It's yours, right?
Yes.
So he's saying, you also reckon, consider yourselves that you are dead unto this nature that has ruled all humanity, that even made your father leave your wife, I mean your mother. Is that nature that rules? I get what I'm saying?
Yes.
Yeah.
It says, reckon ye also unto yourself that you are dead unto this nature. But now, you're not only dead. See, that is one side of it. But most importantly, you are now alive unto God. And everything that is about you being dead to sin and being alive unto God has nothing to do with you. It says, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Is Jesus who has executed this assignment. And what he did it perfectly. Did he fail?
No.
No.
Was it deficient?
No.
No.
So the product, is this something that needs a bit of touch up?
No.
No.
Hey! So look at verse 12. So now that you have reckoned yourself to be dead unto sin, and now you are alive unto God, meaning that you are set up. God has done something regarding you that without any effort, you are set up. Not only to be dead to sin, the nature that ruled all humanity, which gave the devil access to you, but now you're alive unto God. So he says, now let not sin therefore reign in your where? In your what?
Mortal body.
Can you see? We are not talking about the members. Let not sin. It didn't say let not sin there, because it could have said, let not sin therefore reign in you. No, that's not what it says. Because you who are a spirit, you are free from that nature called sin. That nature called sin is no longer in your spirit. But that nature still has access to your members. Mm-hmm. It has access to what?
Members.
It has access to your mortal body. You see it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, that is why a fly is flying. It wants to land on your lips or on your nose because something is coming out that it likes, whatever. You didn't get a joke, right? You didn't get a joke. Anyway, so the fly wants to land on your mouth or your nose. Maybe you just ate some fishy meat, and as you are breathing and, you know, talking, it smells the fish. So it wants to come and land on the fish so that you can also eat some of the fish. Anyway.
and then you,
who have control over your mouth, which you used to eat, and your nose, which you used to breathe, what do you do? You swipe it away. And if it's still in your house, you go for a swatter.
Yeah.
And you say, I'm going to kill you. You, I'm going to kill you. When I'm done with you, you will never have access to this house anymore. Anyway, so it says that let not sin therefore reign. But you must do it. God is not coming to do it for you. When it comes to your eyes, God is not going to come and tell you, stop looking at this. No. When it comes to your ears, he's not going to come and tell you, I am going to block your ears for you. No. Why? Because you used to be in bondage. Used to be in bondage to your eyes. You were in bondage to your ears. You were in bondage to your sense of touch. That is why That is why you watch pornography and you can't stop watching pornography. You are in bondage. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You touch this. You touch this. Oh, I want to tell you stop, but I can't tell you right now. I tell you, it's a bondage. You are drinking. You can't stop drinking. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Because you like the taste of it, and you know it kind of dulls or it dulls your or your troubles are there. They're not gone, but when you drink, at least you forget it for some hours. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So you want to drink more so that you can forget your troubles more. You are in bondage. You can't help it.
Get so
if I come and tell you, hey, Enoch, stop drinking. I'm joking. I mean, you are in bondage. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Very good. So it says that now, let not sin therefore reign in your members, in your flesh, in your mortal body. Otherwise, if you do that, you will obey it. You will obey it in the lust thereof. You will, it's so full of lust. It's there. Everybody has it. My hands, it touches something, it likes it, it wants to always touch it. That's why men have not stopped touching their wives. Let's go on. It's like, it's not enough. No, it's not enough. Anyway, you know, listen to me. It's not that it's evil. It has to be told it's enough. Something has to take over. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Something that's from within you has to take over and control everything. So you look at something and say, no, you will not look at this again. You hear me? Because it does not edify. You have right to watch it. You can watch it for hours. But does it edify you? I mean, after you've watched it, do you feel like you've had an encounter with your maker, with your life? You are now free? No. You find out that, I didn't do it. Oh, I've forgotten this. See? All these are happening. For some families, it has destroyed their families because the man couldn't stop watching this stuff, couldn't stop drinking, couldn't stop spending all his money on gambling and all those things. So it has ruined the family. Anyway, let's go to the next verse. Verse 12. 13. Please go back. If you do, it will take you. It will ruin you. It will make you obey it and you can't control it. Verse 13. Neither yield ye your members. Don't yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness, because it has been acquitted. Are you with me?
Yes.
But it says, yield yourselves unto God. So first of all, say, I'm a child of God. I'm the redeemed of the Lord. I am born of the Spirit of God. I'm born of God. I'm to God. God has set me apart for his own purposes. So I'm going to yield myself first unto God as those who are alive from the dead and your members. So it's not enough to say, I'm a child of God. It's not enough to say, I am born of the Spirit of God. It's not enough to say, I'm not a saint. It's not enough. So because as soon as it says, yield yourselves unto God, as those that are alive from the dead. What is the next line? What does it say? What does it say? Tell me. Continue the sentence. Oh, no.
Members.
It says, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead. And
your members as instruments of righteousness unto God.
So there is you and your members. You see it?
Yes.
So everybody is a you. You are a spirit. But you have members. You have eyes. You have sense of touch. You have ears. You have mouth. You can taste, smell. All these things are your members, but they are not you. But if you do not present your members as instruments of what God wants to do, even though the life is inside your spirit, which is you, it will never manifest. So, Think about it. Let's say, Efia could have started having babies from the age of 18. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because it's all there. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's all inside her. She could have been having babies every 2 years, one child. Every 2 years, child. But now, she could have had so many because it's there. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yes.
But she said, no, I'm going to school. No, I'm not done with this. No, I'm going to my first degree. No. So at the age of, let's say, 27, then it says, I'm not ready. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yes.
So the ability to let the fruit come forth has always been there. But she said, no. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Until such a time. And so she ends up having, let's say, 2 or 3 children, not because that's all she could get, but because she said, no, I don't want, I just want two. Oh, I don't want three. Like me, I have only two. No, that's not because you have no idea. You could have easily gone for sex. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Was it God's will for me to have two? I don't think so. Was it God's will for me to have six? I don't know. But fear and everything and the troubles of life, do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It controlled me. Eric said he will have so many. Now, don't talk about them anymore. No way.
It's like,
please. Ophelia wanted a girl, but you never gave her a girl. Anyway, so these days, present your members as instruments of righteousness. And all you have to do is just present your members and you're having the babies. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's all you have to do. Now look at the next verse 14. Then it says, for sin shall not have dominion over you. Do you see it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Why? Because of what Jesus did. Sin does not have power to rule your life anymore. And the only reason why sin does not have power to rule your life anymore, who can tell me the reason? Over there. Look at it.
For you are not under the law, but under grace.
My God. Mm-hmm. Stay here for a moment. I'm closing. I didn't even begin to touch on the topic properly, but I'm just going to close in a moment. I need to see this. The only reason why sin, the nature which has dominated, which has caused wars, which causes a man to leave his wife. Listen, a man to leave his wife that he has toiled with, built a house together with. The man leaves the wife to go for another woman. That nature, that sin nature, that makes a mother kill the children. Are you with me?
Yeah.
It causes all the atrocities. It says it doesn't have dominion over you anymore. And the only reason is because you are not under the law, meaning that if you are under the law, what happens? Sin rules.
Yes.
The nature of sin rules. So I need to, I just shared all these things, but I need to understand that there is a law. If you engage it, it doesn't have respect for you. Sin nature will rule you. And then there is another law. It's called the law of grace. So one law is called the law of sin and death. The other law is called the law of grace. If you engage the law of sin and death, then what is that law? It is that law that says that you must do this so that you can have this. It is the law that God gave to man through Moses. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Why did God do that? Because man has eaten of a tree. That tree is called a tree that gives you a knowledge of whatever is good and whatever is evil. And so now that you are going to now live by that tree, God says, I am going to give you the law that will let you know everything that I call good and everything that I call evil, so that you will never try to figure out what is good, what is evil. No. You say you're going to now live by that tree. Okay, I'm going to give you my law so that it will reveal everything about that tree to you. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And then when you do the good, you must enjoy the benefits. When you do the evil, you must also enjoy the destruction. Now, when he did this, he knew that the nature called sin has now entered all of humanity. So it's not your attempt to do good. No, you can't. Because your nature will reveal to you that it is impossible for man to live by that tree or by that knowledge. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So we all try. A person is marrying, it's going to be happily ever after. True or false?
True.
Yeah.
Why does the man divorce the wife? Or why does the wife leave the man? Why? Mm. And so when he gave the law, it was to reveal that the issue is not about what is good and evil, the issue is about my nature. So now, I am never ever going to engage that law again, because that law only reveals my nature. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yes.
It says that for by the law is the nature. By the law is the knowledge of that nature. So the reason why God gave the law to man is so that man will to reveal to man exactly what his nature is. The reason why man should never, ever, ever try to live by that knowledge instead of living by what God and his life in him is bringing forth. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So now, here's the thing. If you listen or you receive any wisdom from your flesh, what is in your flesh? Sin.
Mm-hmm.
And its nature. If you receive any wisdom from your flesh, what are you going to engage? The law of sin. What's going to happen to you? It will dominate you. But if you live under the life which has come because of the grace of Jesus Christ, because of the obedience of Jesus Christ, where now that life says, Jesus died to forgive all men. Jesus died to end the life of all men. So now I do not relate to any man according to what my flesh tells me about them, because my flesh, my eyes can see that this man is very wicked and is very foolish. But I'm not going to respond to this wisdom. I'm not going to engage this wisdom coming from my members, because if I engage it, which law rules?
The law of sin.
Exactly. So look at Romans 8. Now this is Romans 6:14. Go to Romans 8, verse 1. Romans 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation or no sentence to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after
the flesh,
but after
the Spirit.
He's saying that those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not receive the wisdom that comes from the flesh, but they only receive the wisdom that comes from the Spirit. Now, let me tell you, when the Holy Spirit is present with you, what is the name of the Spirit? The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, right?
Yes.
Does he talk to you about you, or he talks to you about the Christ?
About the Christ.
So when you are receiving the wisdom that comes from him, you will find out that everything he tells you is everything that Christ did. And what Christ did, he did for you, for your spouse, for your children, for your neighbor, for your boss, for you. And so you find out when you begin to receive the wisdom that comes from the Spirit, automatically you are free from receiving the wisdom that comes from your flesh. But if you choose to receive the wisdom that comes from your flesh, the Holy Spirit says, I am useless and I cannot do anything. Do you get what I'm saying?
Oh, yes.
It's either this or that. So look at verse 2. Look at verse 2. It says, for the law of the Spirit of the life which is in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death.
And
Verse 3. For what the law could not do, the law of Moses, could not do in that it was weak. The law was not weak by itself, but it was weak through the what?
The flesh.
So the flesh is what made the law weak.
Mm-hmm.
Do you get it?
Yeah.
The flesh is what made the law weak. So what did God do? God sending his own son in the likeness of yours and my sinful flesh, and as an offering for sin, he has now condemned sin in the flesh. The result is verse 4. Look at it. So that the righteousness of the law, or the righteous requirements that the law demands, might be fulfilled in us. So every righteous demand of the law has already been fulfilled in us. Now, if the payment has already been made, is there another payment to make?
No.
Okay. So it has been fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So now go. I just want to just read this and then we close. Go ahead, verse 5. For they that are after the flesh, they do mind the things of the flesh. The things of the flesh are everything that is possible for human beings. Everything that is possible for human, everything that is irritating, it's irrational for human beings. Everything that is makes sense. Everything. So everything that adds up, you take it. Doesn't add up, throw it away. You get what I'm saying?
Yes.
Yeah.
It says they that are after, they who set their mind. Give it to me the NASB. I think it would be nicer so that you don't have to. I don't have to talk too much. Look at verse 5 in NASB. For those who are according to the flesh, they set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who are according to the spirit, the things of the spirit. Verse 6. For the mind that is set on the flesh is death. But the mind that is set on the spirit is life and peace. When your wife insults you for whatever reason, when your wife does something that irritates you, you are inclined to respond. But when you respond to the spirit, he says, love, it covers all sins. Love covereth all misbehavior. Love, it covers it. Doesn't react to it. When you do that, when you listen to your spirit, that says love, which is the nature and the life of God inside you, it covers a multitude of, not one sin, not two sins, not three acts of sins, not four acts of sins. That's what they came and said. So Lord, tell me, how many times do I have to forgive my fellow who sins against me? Is it seven times? Is it seven? I mean, they were trying to find out, where does it end? Do you get what I'm saying?
Yes.
And it says 77 times. Now, if you can count, your mind can count and count 77 times seven, well, then go ahead. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yes.
For the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the spirit is life and peace. So you choose it. You can choose it. At first, all of us were in bondage. You can't help it. You do me, I'm doing you. I can't help it because my nature dictates that. So some of our parents left our mothers. Some of our fathers left our mothers because their nature, they never received this life. They didn't know about it. They were not taught about it. They didn't receive the life. So they did what makes sense to them. They said, at this time, it's proper for us to part. Then they go with other girls, other women, only to end up dead on the street somewhere. Woman brings up struggles. I mean, just bizarre. But now you have the life. The light is in you. Choose to listen to the voice of the spirit and do not continue to subject yourself to sin by your members. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yes.
So it says, present your members a living sacrifice. So the first step, present. Now we must present. What do I see? What do I watch? What do I allow myself to listen to? What do I allow my eyes? What do I set my... Job had to come to the place where he said, I have made a covenant with my eyes. It will never look at a damsel, a naked damsel. Because if I look at it, myself is coming. I'm going for them. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
As I look at them, I can't help it. I'm just going to get them. So I've made a covenant. Because if you give your members a chance, it doesn't matter how many years you have been a Christian. It doesn't matter how many. If you give your members a chance, say you are born again for how many years? 15 years, no problem. Say you are a bishop, no problem. Say you are a pastor of what? 15,000 people. That is why you hear pastors. This has gone to sleep with this member of the church, taking this money of the church away. He has done this. All these things that are coming up, it's going to get more. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because it's a matter of what you listen to. That's all. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, say with me, Heavenly Father,
Heavenly Father,
my Lord Jesus Christ,
my Lord Jesus Christ,
precious Holy Spirit,
precious Holy Spirit,
I hear you.
I hear you.
I hear you.
I hear you.
I hear your instructions to choose life.
I hear your instructions to choose life.
I hear your instruction to submit my members.
I hear your instruction to submit my members
unto your life.
Unto your light.
Your light.
Your light.
Which is inside me.
Which is inside.
That I may live my life.
That I may live my life.
A living sacrifice.
A living sacrifice.
Set apart for my Father.
Set apart for my Father.
Set apart for my Lord.
Set apart for my Lord.
And not be conformed to the world.
And
not be conformed to the world.
But be transformed.
But be transformed.
By the renewing of my mind.
By the renewing of my mind.
And as I do this.
And as I do this.
I will prove to myself.
I will prove to myself.
That the ways of the Father.
That the ways of the Father.
The will of the Father for me.
The will of the Father for me.
Is truly good.
It's truly good.
It is acceptable even to myself.
It is acceptable even to myself.
It is everything that I ever wanted.
It is
everything that I ever want.
And I'll prove to myself.
And I'll prove to myself.
It is perfect for me.
It is perfect for me.
At the very early stages, I may not see it.
at the very early stages and moments.
But as I submit my members.
But as I submit my members.
And I set myself apart for you.
And I set myself apart for you.
And I begin to refuse to be conformed to the world.
And I begin to
conform to the world.
I'll prove it to myself.
I will prove it to myself.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, precious Holy Spirit.
Thank you, precious Holy Spirit.
Thank you, my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, take your body, please. Take your body. How many of you have enjoyed gospel today? Was it above your head? I don't think so.
No.
I don't think so. Wonderful. All right. Take your body and stay with me. This is the body of Jesus Christ.
This is the body of Jesus Christ.
That was broken for me.
That was broken for me.
This body was wounded.
This body was wounded.
Was bruised.
Was bruised.
Was pierced.
Was pierced.
Suffered every bodily torment.
Suffered every bodily torment.
Experienced every mental torture. That the ransom.
That the ransoms
will be fully paid for me. As I eat this body, I call to remembrance that perfect work. That was all for me.
That was all for me.
And everybody I know. Including the one who is trying to pepper my life. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
The body of Jesus Christ.
Body of Jesus Christ.
Please eat the body. Now say with me, the blood of Jesus Christ.
Blood of Jesus Christ.
Which completely washed me.
Completely washed me.
Of every one of my sins.
Of every one of
sins. And continues to wash me.
And continue to wash me.
Of every sin I commit.
Of every sin I commit.
And the sins of all those I know.
And the sins of all those I know.
And sanctifies me.
And sanctifies me.
And everyone I know.
Everyone,
and present me,
present me,
my life,
and the life of my entire family,
the life,
and everything that belongs to me,
and everything that belongs to me,
holy.
Unblameable,
unreprovable,
in my Father's sight,
the blood of Jesus Christ.
Jesus.
Please drink the blood. Wow. How many of you, please, are truly